Luke Mayville, thank you for coming into the KRFY studio this morning. You are one of the original organizers of Reclaim Idaho, the organization that is now in the middle of a petition drive to put Medicaid expansion on the November general election ballot. Tell us about this campaign, what it is for, what it will take to get this done. Just tell us.
Thank you so much, Susie, for having me here. For 4 years now, we in Idaho have had the option to expand Medicaid. But for 4 years, our state legislators have failed to expand Medicaid. And that means that for the last 4 years, we've been refusing to take our federal tax dollars back into Idaho that we're already paying for. So every year, Idahoans, we pay federal taxes, and those tax dollars go to fund the Medicaid programs of other states. What Medicaid expansion would do is it would bring that money back into Idaho to expand Medicaid eligibility right here, and it would cover close to 80,000 people in Idaho who currently are desperate for health care. These are people who make too much money to qualify for Medicaid because they're working, but they don't make enough to afford health insurance on the state exchange. So they're what's called the Medicaid gap. Now, the good news is that back in November of 2017, the state of Maine decided they're going to put this thing on the ballot because their state legislature, their governor, hadn't managed to expand Medicaid. It was one of the 19 states, along with Idaho and so many others, that hadn't expanded Medicaid. So they got a citizens initiative together. They put Medicaid expansion on the ballot, and it won by 59% to 41%. So by an 18-point margin, it won. And we in Idaho, our organization Reclaim Idaho, we witnessed that happening. We were inspired just by their organizing in the lead up to the vote. We saw the vote happen, and we launched our own initiative. We want to make Idaho the second state to expand Medicaid by ballot initiative. And that's what we're trying to engage thousands of people all around the state in that effort. And it's lovely to be back here, because here in Sandpoint, where I grew up, where the others who started the organization grew up, this is where it all started. This is where the entire campaign started. So it's great to be back.
Why would Idaho not take the federal money for Medicaid when it's already being paid by the citizens of Idaho?
There is no good reason, as far as I can tell. The Governor Otter issued a report that was commissioned to a work group that he appointed of experts. You know, it wasn't partisan. It was people from all kinds of different backgrounds, but mainly people who really understood healthcare and the economics of healthcare. And Governor Otter's report found that Medicaid expansion would create 14,000 new jobs. It would bring in over $40 million in new revenue that would be generated by all those new jobs, new income tax revenue, new property tax revenue, new sales tax revenue, over $40 million. We predict that Medicaid expansion would bring $500 million of our own taxes back into Idaho every single year. It's predicted that that money would save rural hospitals all across the state. So when you add all these things up, and you also notice that this would get health care to close to 80,000 people who need it, yeah, the question becomes, why haven't they done it? The best answer I have, and it's a really sad answer, but it becomes about partisan politics. People associate Medicaid expansion with the former president, President Obama. There's been an unwillingness among elected officials to want to associate themselves in any way with this or that party or this or that president. We believe that's starting to change, and we believe that there was never that reluctance to expand Medicaid among the broader population, whether you're Democrat, Independent, or Republican. It was always the right thing to do. It was always the practical thing to do. And that showed up whenever they took public opinion surveys. Boise State University has been running a public opinion survey for 2 years now where they ask people about the Medicaid gap problem. In 2016, when the public was surveyed, 70% said they wanted legislative action to address the Medicaid gap. 1 year later, it jumped from 70% to 75.6%. So even though there's been a majority in the state legislature who, for, I believe, partisan reasons, does not want to do this, there's always been broad support among voters, whether they're Democrat, Republican, or independent. This kind of situation is exactly what the ballot initiative process is designed for. These situations where there's a big gulf between how ordinary voters feel about an issue and how legislators feel about an issue. When ordinary voters aren't being accurately represented by their elected representatives, that is why we also have this other tool in our democratic toolbox called the ballot initiative to do it on our own. That's what it's designed to do, and that's what we're doing. And we're everywhere we go, we see broad support, regardless of party, regardless of how people feel about a whole different range of issues, regardless of how they think about what's happening in Washington, D.C. They think here in Idaho, Medicaid should be expanded.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was almost 80,000 people who are not currently insured. And you mentioned the gap. These are working families or individuals that would benefit by being able to qualify for health insurance. Can you explain that a little bit more, this gap?
Yes. So when you go all around the state, what you'll find, and here in Bonner County as much as anywhere, you'll encounter people and you ask them, what do they think of this Medicaid expansion issue? You talk to them about it and they'll say things like, oh, Medicaid. Yeah, I remember I had that at one point in my life when I wasn't working, when I was really struggling. I had that. But then when I got a job, I made too much money to qualify for it anymore. So I lost my Medicaid and I lost my health care. There's an old system. There's an old way of doing things where that would be okay, because ideally, in an ideal world, maybe it was more like this back in the 70s or something. I don't know. But if you are on Medicaid and then you get a job and your employer gives you health care, so you move on to employer-based health insurance. This is an important point that I would like everyone to think about, but I don't think people have to think much about it because everyone has experienced it. Everyone sees it all around them. We have a different kind of economy now. We have an economy where most of the new jobs, most of the available jobs are lower wage jobs that do not offer health insurance. If they do offer health insurance, it's not very good health insurance oftentimes. So that means that what often happens is when people are really struggling and not making any money and they're on Medicaid, when they go and get a job, they lose their Medicaid and they also lose any health insurance because the job they got does not pay, does not cover them. So that means, there are thousands of people all around this, tens of thousands of people all around the state who are not just working hard, they're often working two jobs. And, you meet people who have just chronic toothaches and they live every day in pain and they just want to go to a dentist. But the choice they face is, do I get a third job just so that I can go to the dentist? And then you meet single mothers who, do I get a third job to go to the dentist? And that means I can't see my kids. That means I just have to leave my kids at home from 8 p.m. to midnight while I go to my third job.
So there's a real need and there is a real reason why this could work. And so the citizens of Idaho, initiated by Reclaim Idaho, are signing petitions now to get this idea of Medicaid expansion, to bring that federal money back to Idaho to help the 80,000 uninsured working families and individuals in the state have health insurance. Mm-hmm. So just give us an update. How is that going? Mm-hmm. And it started, as you said, here in Sandpoint, but it has really expanded.
The model that we work with to organize people is a real neighborhood team model. It's really grassroots organizing. It's all volunteer. We currently have a statewide campaign. As we started to really build all across the state, we faced all this pressure. People said, whoa, you're trying to do something really big statewide. When are you going to actually hire a staff? When are you going to actually build out a normal campaign where you have all these different staff members doing all these different roles? We said, we took a gamble. We said, okay, we do need some organization, but we're going to hire one staff member. So that's what we did. And we hired this extraordinary young man named Zach Reeder, 23 years old, to be our statewide field director. We're fortunate to have a number of leaders in the campaign, a number of organizers who are overseeing different parts of the campaign who are entirely volunteer. So, for example, Garrett and I and Garrett Strzic and his wife, Emily, they're entirely volunteer. They have their other jobs and their other pursuits that they do, just like I do. But they care enough about this to really be volunteer organizers. And those of us who've been involved from the very beginning, we then work with our field director. We really just consider him part of the team, and he's our one paid staff. But then the real heart and soul of the campaign are the volunteer teams all over the state. So right now we've got teams in about 25 localities. A really important part of it is that these teams have leaders. There are volunteer leaders, usually at the county levels, county leaders in about 20 counties. And then in some cases it breaks down by district. So there are legislative district leaders. So Boise's so big that if you just did Ada County, it would be too vast for any one person. So they broke it down to 8 different district leaders. And so we have this vast infrastructure of volunteers led by volunteer leaders. And they've really set themselves these concrete goals of, we're going to get the 2,000 signatures in our district that we need to put this thing over the top. And just to back up for a second, give you sense of what the goals are and where we're at, we need 56,000 signatures for the entire state. That's 6% of all registered voters. That's number one. The second and final thing we need is 6% of registered voters from 18 different legislative districts. That's about half of Idaho's legislative districts. Where we're at today, we believe that with the events of the next 2-3 weeks, we're poised to break through that 6% threshold in all 18 of the districts we need by the middle of March. That from then on, it will be a sprint for the final 6 weeks to get to that total of 56,000. What we're asking people to do in all of everywhere around the state, including Sandpoint, is to race towards that finish line of the signatures that are needed locally. Here in Sandpoint, we believe we're under 200 signatures away. We have an 1,800 signature goal, and we're about 200 signatures away, and we believe we can make it. And I'll tell you about some opportunities to volunteer and help us get over that finish line. And then after we get over that finish line, I would say what we need to do is celebrate, pat ourselves on the back, you know, congratulate each other, but then keep moving towards that, contributing to that total. So whatever you can do to, you know, find friends and family who haven't signed it yet, that's important, because that's going to go towards that 56,000 total that we need.
It started as a huge challenge. I don't think this has been done very often in Idaho. I think the last time was, 12 years ago?
So what a lot of people remember is about 6 years ago, there was the LUNA law, the repeal of the LUNA laws around education. And that was a citizen initiative. But it wasn't a ballot initiative that was proposing a law. Instead, it was repealing a law. And that's considered a little bit easier. But an actual ballot initiative to enact a new law, I believe, hasn't been done in about 22 years. I believe the last one was term limits in the 1990s. So what we're doing is historic. And 2 months ago, I wouldn't have emphasized how unprecedented and how much of an uphill battle this is. But now I love to emphasize it because we actually have momentum to win. So we have to realize that we're doing something very difficult. We're doing something historic. And that even though it's been improbable all along, it's been unlikely, it's always been worth it. And it's always been worth hoping for. And we are now really, you know, seeing the horizon, and we're seeing the possibility of victory.
You know, so often citizens, voters say, well, my vote doesn't count. But in this case, on a ballot initiative, it's a whole different story. Not only does your vote count when it gets on the ballot, but you can also get involved to get it to happen, to get it onto the ballot. So let's just talk for a brief moment about how folks can get involved.
The main way that people can get involved here in Sandpoint is later this week and this weekend, on Friday and Saturday, outside of the Panada at the Follies, we're going to have people circulating petitions. If you want to just show up and join in that effort, you can do that. It's going to be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. But what I would also say is, if you have not signed the petition, please, this is a perfect opportunity. You can go outside the Panada anytime between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. and you're going to find someone circulating the petition. It'll be really easy for you to just stop by and sign.
And what if you wanted to become someone that stood there with a clipboard and got signatures, and you thought, well, maybe I'll go talk to every one of my relatives, and I have a large family or something like that. How would you access a petition that you could get signed, and then what would you have to do with that?
The easiest way to do that is to go on our website at medicaidforidaho.org. There you'll find pretty easy instructions to print the petition. There's even a little video instruction of the different steps you have to take between printing and notarizing the petition once you've collected the signatures. So go on the website. There's some pretty clear guidelines there. And you can just start there, and you can show up on Friday at 4 p.m. Or Friday at 6 p.m. and jump in yourself.
We're speaking here with Luke Mayville, one of the organizers of the ballot initiative to get Medicaid expansion onto the ballot in November, about different ways to get involved and what it really means and how it can benefit the citizens of Idaho at really very little cost. I wanted to read one of Reclaim Idaho's statements. We believe that every working family in Idaho deserves access to affordable health care, and that is why we are launching a petition campaign to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. Together, we can win. And how are you feeling right now? And what have you seen around the state as far as response and people coming together? And as you said, it's a nonpartisan issue.
Yes, we're seeing response everywhere, positive response everywhere we go. Insofar as people are reluctant to sign, they're generally gracious about it. They just say, no, thank you. They say, don't have time right now. It's very rare that people will offer any kind of objection. And even when they do, that's perfectly okay too. I personally, when I've traveled around with people and started these conversations, I really enjoy it, going through the back and forth, trying to figure out what is it, what could it be about this that people don't support. And what I've often found is that once we talk through it a little bit, it turns out that there's a lot of misinformation. So for example, people think that it will cost taxpayers a lot of money, but actually, by all the studies say that it will save taxpayers money, and that's not just speculation, because we know just over the border in Montana, they expanded Medicaid, and it's been enacted for about 20 months. And Montana has already saved $30 million in taxpayer money just in that time. So we relish those conversations because it's really a good way to get out there into communities all around the state and just share this information and really start a broader conversation with people who don't always agree with you on every issue, but that can at least come together around something. And I think one of the things that's given me a lot of hope is that people are really hungry to come together around something that makes sense, something that's both common sense and compassionate, something that helps people while also saving taxpayer dollars. People are getting pretty fatigued, exhausted by the constant division, and they really appreciate a chance to join forces and actually try to get something done that will help people. So
I just want to remind folks, the website is MedicaidForIdaho.org. You can learn more about this ballot initiative. And Luke Mayville, thank you so much for coming in. This is an update, but we want you to come back and give us another update, maybe sometime in April, to inform the voters so that they can be inspired to get involved. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Susie. We launched here, so it's always great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.